Now Peter and John went up to the temple. Rather, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, that's 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb, another one lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. What was he asking for? Was he asking for healing? And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Why did he expect to receive something from them? Because that's what he was asking. He was asking for small. So he was expecting to receive small from them. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." The money you are asking for, that's what he was saying, the money. So he was collecting coins, people were giving to him. I guess the rich people, because it was the beautiful gate, everyone was going, most of the people were going through that gate. I mean, there were that was not the only gate, but I think most people were going through that gate, right? Now, I think also the rich people were giving even more, not just coins. Now, Peter says, the money you are looking for, I'm not going to give you. That's not what I'm going to give you. I've got something far greater than money. Because, sir, what you need is not money. Sir, what you need is not money. Listen, you lovely people, money will not buy you joy. Money will not buy you fulfillment. Money will not buy you contentment. Money will not buy you meaning for your living. What you need is not money. What you need is what money cannot buy. Money is what you want, but what you need is what money cannot buy. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I have none, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Underline that word, and immediately. The word immediately. And immediately his feet and ankle. He never walked from his mother's womb. The Bible says this man was about 40 years. Now this is a 40-year-old man. A 40-year-old man looks like me. Imagine me. Now imagine how tiny those limbs are. How tiny those legs are. They've never walked. Do you know? Imagine how tiny and how fragile. No strong muscles whatsoever. None. No strong muscles, no strong joints. They've never walked from his mother's womb. Hallelujah. Now we're talking about a miracle. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle both received the strength. That's exactly what I was saying. There was no strength. Muscles not properly formed. Joints not properly strong enough, properly formed. He never walked. But the word of God says, immediately his feet and ankle, both and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked. Again, he did not limp, he leaped. That's a miracle. Leaped. Not wobble, not stagger. Now, that's what we call a miracle. This is a whoa, what's going on? Like, whoa, whoa. What up, what up, what up, what up, what up, what up? So he leaping up, stood and walked. Number one, what we learn from here, miracles are creative. Miracles are instant. The Bible says immediately. Miracles are creative, miracles are instant, miracles are complete. If he limped, that's incomplete. Are you hearing me? If he limped, if he staggered, that's incomplete. I mean, something is still happening, or something is still about to happen. Are we talking about miracles in this place? What is number one? Miracles are? Miracles are? Miracles are? Clap hands for yourself. And he entered the temple with them. He entered, the man who could not walk a moment ago. He's the one, we are chagadula ngesiZulu. He's leaping up. He stood, the power of God like upon him. Mary, the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon you. And the power from on high shall overshadow thee. See, Spirit of God come. What comes? Power. Healing. Spirit of the Lord, what comes? Power. Healing. Holy Spirit is God. Powerful beyond measure. The man walked instantly. He leaped and stood and walked instantly, Brother Jay. Now, if this is the Holy Spirit who is with us, who is in our midst, who is among us, who is in us, who does these sort of things, what do we have to say for our state? What do we have to say for our own state? This is the same Holy Spirit who dwells in you and me. This is the same Holy Spirit who adopted us into sonship. He's the Holy Spirit of the new birth. We are born again because of the Holy Spirit and the Word. He is in you, he is in me. The power plant. You know a power plant? Like imagine a nuclear power plant. The concentration of power. The source of power. The origin of power is living in you and me. Oh my goodness. The men entered the temple with Peter and John, walking, leaping, and praising God. Remember, they were going to the temple to pray. Now, they had company. They had company. It was not just the three of them. God happened. God happened. Verse number 9 is going to bless you. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. What did the people see? Remember, initially, this one is the one who was asking for money. But these men perceiving in the spirit what the men wanted. And these men being led, please, they were led. This man was not looking for healing. This man had no faith for healing. It's not what he was looking for. But God, by his sovereign, by his divine will and grace. So that means some miracles, we won't go to people and say, you want to be healed. We won't go to people and say, the people won't come to us and say, I want to be healed. No, this man was never looking for that. But God, by his sovereign, by his divine will, by his divine grace, which is the very thing that God will do, and he want to do, I believe, fully, with a lot of us here today. Tell a neighbor, say, God, he wants to use me this way. I am telling you, I know. And don't ask me how I know, because then I will tell you that I know, because I know, that I know, because I know. And all the people saw him. They saw him, they knew him. They all passed him. Remember the Bible says he was laying there daily. Daily. If there's someone who begs or something, or a street dweller or something like that, they tend to occupy a particular vicinity and people tend to know them. This young man who's there by UJ precinct, who's now being interviewed on podcast, on social media and stuff like that. If you read the comments, the UJ people, the students, I was shocked. One lady says, I went to UJ 10 years ago and this young man was there. Well known. So they knew him very well, this man. They knew him very well. right? So El and all the people saw him walk, so they knew him, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Number two, miracles glorify God. Miracles are for a testimony. The purpose of miracles. Number two, miracles glorify God. They are for a testimony. This, my lovely friends, is one of the biggest reasons Jesus says, go and bear fruit. This, why? Because fruit, he says, if you bear much fruit, it glorifies my Father. He says, then God is glorified when you bear much fruit. God is what? Now, every person born again, they have Holy Spirit instinct within them to glorify God. Those who are not born again, they don't bother about glorifying God. But those who are born again, those who are born again, they are living for God's pleasure. They want to please their Father all the time. That's why you don't bring anyone to church, because you're not born again. Peter and John, they were always going. It was not the first time. But this time, which is the will of God, God says, no. You can't be living this person all the time. How many people have we been living? And hasn't God really spoken to you? He says, don't live. You are always living this person. God was saying to them, no, this time you're not going to leave him. This time you're going to go with him. It was the hour of prayer. God says, no, this time you go. I want him to go pray with you. That's why we're having revival. Don't come alone on Wednesday. Don't come alone on Friday. Don't come alone on Sunday. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he. That's what I was saying. And then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. They were all filled with wonder and amazement. This is a temple. The people who go to that temple are the same people. Are same people. And they know exactly, those who are using the beautiful gate, they know exactly who lies there at the beautiful gate every time they go in and go out. When they drop those coins at him, they know exactly what they are doing. So they know him very well. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, here's the thing. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what God had done to him. Filled with wonder and amazement. Number three, miracles point people to God. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what God had done to him. Miracles lead people to God, point people to God. Can you see that? I can imagine how dead this temple must have been. The prayers. No amazement, no wonder. Now God wanted to shake them up. Now suddenly, they are filled with amazement. And suddenly. Oh, come on, somebody. What do miracles do? Point people to? Hallelujah. Verse 11, now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John. Oh, I love this. I mean, like, I'm not going to leave this man. What God has done for me through his servants, I'm not going to leave this man. You see, miracle of God. He held on to them. Didn't want to let go. The power that flowed through them came from the Holy Spirit. The anointing was attracting him. He didn't want to depart from the anointing. You see, when God has really happened on you, when God has really happened to you, you won't want to depart from the anointing. He did not want to depart from the anointing. He did not want to depart from the presence. He says, oh, come on. The Bible says he held on to Peter and John. Why? that was surrounding them. They want to leave. I said, they want to leave. Oh, hallelujah. All the people ran together. Oh, I love this. Remember, we're talking about one miracle. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them. All the people ran together to Peter, John, and the lame man. Ugh, not the lame man. The lame man who was healed, right? All the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. What did the people do, church? Ran together. Ran together. Miracles bring people to God. One, miracles point people to God, but not only point. Remember, it pointed those that were inside, but those that were outside ran to them. Can you see the difference? You, the believer, the miracle will reposition you, point you to your God, but unbelievers ran towards them. Why did they run towards them? It tells you again, this man was well known. So when they saw him, him standing with the apostles, they really thought they were dreaming. They really thought they were part of a very big, massive dream. Like a mass dream, like all of us dreaming at the same time. All of us being in the same dream at the same time. Wow. They ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. Miracles bring people to God. Whether believers or unbelievers, miracles bring people to God. They ran, Brother Sikhwacha. They did not walk, they ran. They did not stroll, they ran. You see a miracle. Can you see a miracle? They ran, church. What did they do? They took off. Hey, you remember so and so? He's there. What? That's a miracle. Are you serious? Are you telling the truth? Are you sure? Yes. Let's go. Purpose of miracles. Not to make your pastor famous. No wonder the pastors don't perform miracles because they want to be famous. God cannot share his glory. Number 12. So when Peter saw what? The people running together to them. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people. What did he do? He began to preach. Can you see that? Man of Israel, why do you marvel at this now? The man is preaching. Oh, why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? Number 5, miracles are for the preaching of the gospel. Listen, look how God operated. Now, it was not the preaching then the miracle. This time, it was the miracle then the preaching. Miracles are for the preaching of the gospel. These people didn't care about Peter and John. They didn't. This was in Solomon's porch. It was not inside the temple. It was outside in Solomon's porch, guys. And the people ran. They took off. They ran towards them. And when they got there, now the man, Peter, he began to preach to them. Now, this is the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Telling why God performed the miracle. To make an opportunity for the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel. When miracles happen, a leader of the nation can say, we've been hearing about the thing that God has been doing in your country. We've been watching, we've been seeing. Now I'd like you to come and preach to us here in Bapeti Kosweti. When we are talking about revival, Maxwell, they ran. People running to hear. Now you invite them, they're dragging their feet. I'm not coming. I can't come to church like this. I'm coming to next week. But a miracle, they ran. Do not take miracles for granted. God is not pleased. God wants to reveal his hand. They ran. Even you, when God breaks out, because we are half believing and half not believing, you'll run. No, it's true. Believers, they don't need miracles. Miracles are not for believers. Yeah. Believers don't need miracles. Miracles are for unbelievers, but we have unbelievers in the church who want to be revived by miracles. We who are born again, we are revived by the word of God. We who are born again, we are revived by the Holy Spirit. But you unbeliever, we are looking for a miracle to revive you. Thomas, you'll only believe by seeing. And Jesus rebuked him. And Jesus rebukes you who's waiting for a miracle, but you call yourself a Christian. The man began to preach. Miracles are for the preaching of the gospel. Chapter number 4. Let's go to chapter number 4. The same miracle still continues. Right through chapter number 5. The same miracle. How big is the purpose, the divine purpose, for which God did the miracle? From verse number 1, now as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain, as they spoke to the people at Solomon's porch, right? The priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees, they came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead, the Sadducees, right? Because they believe that there's no resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody, they put them in prison until the next day. For it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed. They believed because of the miracle. However, many of those who heard the word, remember, they ran towards them. And when they got there, Peter began to preach to them, and they believed. But what is the genesis? The miracle. And the number. Now, this is going to blow your mind away. And the number of the men came to be about 5,000. 5,000. Hey, look at the ratio. You scientific minds. One miracle, 5,000 souls born again. One miracle. Come on. One miracle. One Holy Spirit engendered miracle. 5,000. You see, you who are underestimating the power of miracles. 5,000. We're born again. They heard about the miracle. They knew the man. They saw the man. They came to hear. They came to see. When they came to see, Peter began to speak. To tell them, how did this happen? It's Jesus of Nazareth. And people say, no, we want this Jesus. We've never seen anything like this before. This is something that really works. This is religion, for a lack of a better word, because that's all they knew. This is religion that works. This is not the religion of the Sadducees. This is not the religion of the Pharisees. Right? No. This one is not. We are believing you. We are going with you. Hallelujah, church. Miracles are for soul winning. That's point number 6. Can you see point number 1 to point number 6 from the same miracle? Miracles are for soul winning. If we really want to evangelize the world as we should, there must be miracles in our lives, in our midst, in our churches. There must be miracles. Verse number 14, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. The same people that put them in prison, seeing the man who had been healed, because now this is the council is sitting, this is the Sanhedrin, and seeing the man who had been healed, remember they threw them into prison, they interrogated them, they questioned them, right? They were persecuting them, they were torturing them, tormenting them for the good that was done to the man, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, listen to this, they could say nothing against it. Point number 7, a miracle is self-evident. It speaks for itself. You cannot defend a miracle. It cannot be defended. The moment we start to defend, it wasn't a miracle. That means a miracle from God stands up to scrutiny. A miracle from God stands up to scrutiny. A lot of the thing that we've been calling the church, I mean the church, we've been calling miracles that never stood up to scrutiny. And they were torn apart by scientists, torn apart by the medical society. This brought shame to the name of God. We call something a miracle that was not a miracle. A miracle stands on its own. A miracle stands to scrutiny. A miracle is self-evident. A miracle speaks for itself. A miracle cannot be defended. You can't defend a miracle. Are we seeing that, church? This is how and this is why a miracle brings glory to God. Brings glory to God. Oh, Father, may you rain miracles. May you rain miracles. Point number 7 is absolutely amazing. They could say nothing against it. Do run tests. Run a battery of tests on it. No problem. Run it. Run. That's a miracle. Run. Let that the scientists, the scientific community, let them come together. That's a miracle. Let them come together. That's a miracle. Let them investigate this thing. Let them interrogate this thing. Let them do what they could. And then the conclusion will never change. Conclusion will never change. This is not the work of man. This is not the work of man. Hallelujah. Number 15, but when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves. Oh, these men are going to amaze you. They conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle. Who's saying notable miracle? Themselves. Themselves. Now, these are the enemies of God, the enemies of Jesus, the enemies of the apostles, the enemies of believers, the enemies of Christians. They are calling this a notable. You see, a miracle, your enemy cannot deny it. That a notable miracle has been done through them is evident. Come on, say evident. Is evident to all. Evident to all. You cannot add to it. You cannot subtract from it. It's evident to all. And it's no secret. It's evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem. Now listen, listen, listen. We cannot deny it. Number one, they said, we could say nothing against it. Number two, now they are saying, we cannot deny it. A miracle is undeniable. Point number 8. A miracle is undeniable. They say, we cannot deny it. That means they could not explain it away. You remember when Dr. T was preaching on Friday? Says as a scientist, as a medical doctor, some things you can explain them away. To say perhaps this happened because this was still there. Perhaps this happened because this was still working. Perhaps this was working because this happened because something kicked in. No. But a true miracle cannot be denied. That means you can't explain it away. With all those factors, you will still come to one conclusion. One conclusion. That's a true miracle. That's how we glorify our Father. I say that's how we glorify our Father. What is point number 8, church? Undeniable. You cannot explain a miracle away. No. Let's jump to chapter number 5. Same miracle. Where did we start from? Chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. Same miracle. Why is the Holy Spirit doing this? To tell you how desperately you need miracles. To tell us as the church, to tell you as an individual believer, how desperately. Remember, a disciple is a disciple for a purpose. What is the purpose? To disciple others. Now, when through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, right? Now, this is post what they'd done to them, the persecutions and all of that. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. Now listen to verse number 14. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord. Now this is apart from the 5,000. Now 5,000 at one time, and people continue being added to the Lord from the one miracle. Same miracle. And people were increasingly, underlined, the Bible says increasingly. People were getting born again very fast. Very fast, quickly. You know, church growth, we say, no, you know, obvious growth, what's the word I'm looking for? Organic growth, you know, takes time. No, no, this was increasingly. So this, even this, this growth was a miracle. So we need a miracle for church growth, a miracle called church growth. We need a miracle called soul winning. So there is a miracle called soul winning. Increasingly, people were increasingly added to the church. That's a miracle on its own. See, one miracle is birthing miracles. Can you see that? From one miracle, this one miracle is birthing miracles. It's birthing miracles. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord. Multitudes. Why multitudes could not be numbered? Possibly more than the 5,000. Very much more than the 5,000. 5,000 were given a specific number. This, there's no number, it's multitudes. So that's way beyond that. Multitudes of both men and women. Point number 9, that miracles lead to salvation is undeniable. That's what I just said. That miracles lead to? It's undeniable, friends. Verse 15, so that they brought the sick out into the streets. Now, listen. Verse number 14. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. And these multitudes and people saw that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Remember, there was a man who was 40 years old roundabout, who was a cripple from his mother's womb. So when they put the men, they put the people on beds and couches so that the shadow of Peter might passing on them might heal the people, it's because of the miracle. Some of us will preach and demonstrate with our shadow, but there's no miracle. Unfortunate. The mimicry. Unfortunate. It's making a caricature of the wonderful, awesome work of the Holy Spirit. Thus, it was given birth to the miracle of the 40-year-old man, crippled from his mother's womb. People say, just the shadow, because of the presence. Some of us say, my shadow pass you. But you heal no cripple. Pastors, my boy. That's Sinalo. It's true. Also a multitude, listen to this, one miracle. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem. The surrounding cities to Jerusalem. People coming from Benoni, from Boxburg, from Germiston. People coming from Carltonville. People coming from Krugersdorp. Hey, come on, church. People coming from Leondale, from Meerdale. People coming from South whatever. People coming from the surrounding areas. How many people? Multitude. Gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. These miracles generated faith in the people for them to believe God for healing. It's the miracles that generated faith in these people. The miracle that they did. The miracle. It generated faith in people that God has done this. Whoa, God has done this. God has done this. God has done this. Sad to say, some of us, even if God has done a miracle for you, you still remain an unbeliever. Number 10, miracles are faith builders. They are faith generators. Miracles generate faith in people. Listen, here we are told what the people did. The apostles had nothing to do with this. The apostles had nothing to do with this. But the miracles generated faith. Faith in unbelievers. See what God, it's a tool. A miracle is a tool. A miracle is a tool. What God does for you, it's a tool to win others. I say what God does for you is a tool to win others. And number two, remember, he says it was evident to all. That's why we tell you, you don't. A miracle is not for you for keepsake. A miracle is for you to share. It was evident to all. Why? Because a miracle is to glorify God. How do you glorify God? By sharing it. By telling as many people as you can. Telling them of the goodness, of the wonders of the Lord in your life. Are miracles for today's church? Are miracles for today's church? If the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for today's church, then the answer is an emphatic yes. Do you hear what I said? Are miracles for the church of today? If the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for the church of today, then miracles are for the church of today. Yeah. Are miracles for believers? If the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for the believers today, then miracles are for the believers of today. Yes. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. This is miracle working faith, by the way. To another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. I'd like you to underline something, gifts of healings. What did you underline? No, but you say it is gift of healing. That's how you say it. You say there's a gift of healing. That's what we've been saying all along. There's no gift of healing in the Bible. The gift is called the gifts of healings. That's what the gift is called. It's not the gift of healing. There's no gift of healing in the Bible. Yes, I'll just preach to pastors from now on. I'll just go around looking for pastors. There's no gift of healing in Scripture. There's a gift of healings. But we seek a gift of healing. That's why we don't find, because it does not exist. To another, listen, to another, one person, to another, one person is given the gifts of healings. That gift is called the gifts of healings. Number 10, this is 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10. Number 10, to another, the working of miracles. The working of what? Plural. That means if you have healed one person, that was by grace, that was by your faith. That's not a gift. Because it is the gifts of healings, not healing. You did one healing. That's not a gift. Now you know what I did is not a gift. And healings, gifts of healings, different types of sicknesses and diseases. Am I talking to you? It's easy to know the gift. Just go to what the gift is. If you've worked one miracle, you don't have the gift of miracles. Because you worked one miracle. So you have a gift. Yours is the unbiblical one. It's a gift of miracle. So you don't have the gift of miracles. A person who has the gift of miracles, they work miracles. Not one miracle, but miracles. Then you know it's a gift. How do you know it's a gift? Go to the definition and the description of the gift. Then you'll know whether you have it or not. Am I talking to somebody? So if those gifts are for today's church, are for today's believers, then miracles are for today's church and today's believers. Moses shouted, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do. What is he talking about? The miracles that I do. Divonerleke verke. The works that I do. The miracles. The wondrous works. The miraculous works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than this, he will do because I go to my Father. Now, if this is not for today's believer, then we have to edit and we have to explain away he who believes in me. If we believe miracles are not for today's believer, then we have to explain away the he who believes in me. And I notice in scripture, the he who believes in me is present tense. If miracles are not for you, then you have to explain away the he who believes in me. And the he who believes in me is not past tense. And the he who believes in me is not restricted to the fivefold. No, he who believes, including the fivefold. Because there are people in the fivefold who don't believe. There are people in the fivefold who don't believe in miracles. He who believes in me. Let's clap hands for Jesus today.